whole world being crushed because of this feeling of rejection, because after 5 minutes, I thought this was the one, and all of a sudden, no, he's not the one, and now the whole world knows it. And these feelings, like we don't measure up, like we're not good enough, these feelings of being rejected, they are very real, and they create insecurity inside of us. We're insecure that we haven't achieved what we want to achieve, and so we have this sense of inadequacy. And we ask this question, is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me? Well, I'm here to encourage you today that yes, there is something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with everybody in this world. Without Christ, there is something drastically wrong with you. Without Jesus Christ, there is something wrong with you. Because in the book of Ephesians, the author Paul directs us to three things, directly to three things that is wrong with who we are without Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, Paul writes these in chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It goes on to tell us that it was only by God's grace that we have been saved. Now, Paul's not pulling any punches here. He basically outlines three quick things that is wrong with us without Jesus Christ. First of all, we are sinful. We are sinful. We are wretched, sinful people. We have all kinds of just evil flowing in and out of us. It's our human nature. We are sinful. Secondly, we are spiritually dead. We are spiritually dead. There's no real spiritual life that exists inside of us, and we are just dead. Our souls are dead. This is depressing stuff, isn't it? And the third thing is, listen, we're an object of God's wrath. It's very real. We are an object of God's wrath. So if you're new today, I just want to welcome you to Rolling Plains, where our goal is to make you feel really good about yourself. This is what we try to do, and this is what we try to accomplish. But in all seriousness, this is the reality of who we are in Jesus Christ. It's the reality of our human condition. But there's good news. There's a but God in verse 4. It starts off, but God is so rich in mercy. But God loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us this life when we were raised up in Jesus Christ, when Christ was raised from the dead. There's good news because there is a but God that we can take comfort in, that when God shows up, things can change in an instant. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, when God shows up, things will change in an instant. All it takes is a touch of Christ in our life, and it changes everything. Jesus Christ is the ultimate game changer, and in an instant, he can flip an entire life upside down, inside out, or around about. So who do you think you are? Here's what you need to hear about who you are today in Jesus Christ. Last week, we discovered that you're an ambassador. This week, you need to understand that with Christ, you are God's masterpiece. Amen? Did you need to hear this word today? I mean, I know I need to hear this word today. You are God's masterpiece with Christ in your life. Only through Christ can he make you God's masterpiece. Only in Jesus Christ. Now watch what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Paul records these words as he goes on. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago to do. It also talks about in other translations that we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. So I pray today that these words fall into your hearts like water in a desert. Fall into your souls like water in a desert where you feel dried up, that these words light you up, where you realize that you can know who you are. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. When you know who you are, you can know what to do. You know that you are a masterpiece created by God. I want you to look at your neighbor right now. Now, you know the drill. You look at your neighbor and you tell them you are God's masterpiece. Even if it's your spouse and you guys were arguing on the way to church today, you look at them and you say, you are God's masterpiece. Right now, to the left. And then when you're done with that, you look to your neighbor on the right and you say, you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You're not just a painting stuck on the wall. You're not just sitting in some museum in an art gallery. You are God's masterpiece. And oh, by the way, you were created by God. The artist is God. There is no other. It's not Picasso. It's not Renoir. It's God, creator God, the Lord our God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that has created you, not some guy, not some gal, the God of the universe. And this is who you are. You are his masterpiece, and you are made for the master's purposes. You ever see the bumper sticker that says there what does it say? God don't make no junk. God don't make no junk. You ever see that bumper sticker? Anybody ever see that? You ever notice that bumper sticker is on the most wretchedly ratted out car that you've ever seen in your whole life? I mean, every time you see that bumper sticker, it's on a car that just looked like a hoopty. And it says, God don't make no junk. When you're in Jesus Christ, you realize that God literally doesn't make any junk. He doesn't make any junk. God don't make no junk. And in your life, you are not junk. You are, as a matter of fact, his masterpiece. And when it says masterpiece in the original language, it also can mean poem or poetry. Did you know? Now, you got to soak this one in for a second. Think about who you are. You are a poetic statement of the glory of God. Is your life a poetic statement of the glory of God? How many of you felt that way when you walked in here today? I mean, some of you did, but a lot of you might not. You are a poetic statement of the glory of God. Is this sinking in for you? Is this sinking into your heart and soul? This is who God says you are. You are his workmanship. Now, when you are his workmanship, in the original language of the text, it could also mean tapestry. So not only are you his masterpiece, which leads us to believe that we are his poem, but you are his workmanship, which would lead us also to understand that we are his tapestry. Now, what is a tapestry? A tapestry is a collection of all kinds of really cool things and beautiful things that come together to form a piece of artwork, to form a piece of artwork. And so this is what God in Christ Jesus has done in your life. When God knit you together in the mother's womb, when God created you, he took a personality and he took your quirks and he took this passion and he took into some abilities and he took these challenges and he took the grace of his son Jesus Christ and sprinkled it all and he created you. He created you. You are a tapestry. God has brought all these different things together to create a beautiful picture of you. This is who you are. And the goal for today is for you to take this in and to believe it truly in your heart and soul, to own it. Because as God's masterpiece, when you know who you are, you will know what to do. And here's the three things that you do. Number one, you are created for the master's purposes. You're created for the master's purposes. When you own who you are, then you will know the kind of life that God is calling you to live. And you are created for the master's purposes, to bring him glory. Now consider what King David writes in the Psalms about who we are in chapter 139. Hear these words. For you're created in my inmost being. For you created me in my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. How cool is that? Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You are God's masterpiece. Isn't it amazing how similar the author's words here, David's, are to what Paul had to say about you when he said, you are God's masterpiece. Here's how you were put together. Here's how you came to be. It's powerful. And isn't it powerful to know that in this time, in this moment, in this 70 or 80 years that you've been given, or maybe a little bit less, or maybe a little bit more, that God created you for such a time as this, that God put you here on this earth with a specific skill set, with your specific personality, because this is the time where he thought that you would serve him best. And in this moment, and in this time, he birthed you with a certain set of gifts, a certain set of talents, a certain personality to serve his purposes. And therefore, you understand, here and now today, you are not a mistake. You are made for a reason and a purpose. You are here to serve God and to live in his glory with him. This is your time. This is our time together. You know, in the history of Rolling Plains Church, there have been generations that have come before us. There'll be generations that will follow us. But this is your time here on earth. This is our time as Rolling Plains Church to be the people that God has created us to be. And until we know who we are, we'll never know what God wants us to do. You are God's masterpiece, and he sets you here on this earth for such a time as this. How cool is that? This is your time. But the great problem is, if we don't understand the purpose of a thing, we wind up abusing a thing. If we don't understand why something was created or made, if we don't understand the purpose of a thing, we wind up abusing that thing. Take, for example, I discovered a pretty nasty hornet's nest on the dormer of our house. We have a couple of faux dormers out there. We don't have a second floor, but the dormers are there to make it look pretty. Man, that hornet's nest was nasty, and it was kind of way up there, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm not climbing a ladder up there to get face-to-face with these things. I mean, heck no. And so I went down into the basement, and Paul Law and Brian, before Brian had moved out, left us a great pile of building supplies down there, and down there was this like 12 to 15 foot, or maybe it was 10 foot, I don't know. It gets bigger as I tell the story. But there was this conduit down there, a piece of conduit, plastic hollow tubing. And I said, well, that'll do. I mean, it was long enough. So I grabbed this hollow conduit, And I took that out there, and I started jabbing at the nest, and the hornets were getting all angry and frustrated. And I'm poking at this nest, and the nest falls down, and it rolls down, and the hornets are still flying around there at the tip of the pole. And all of a sudden, I realized that this conduit is hollow. Did you know that conduit is hollow? Did you know this? I mean, all of a sudden, I think I just discovered in that moment that, well, conduit is hollow. And as I looked at that, I thought, oh, I guess I'm creating a perfectly natural highway for some buzzing hornets to come right into my face. I mean, I decided not to climb the ladder so they wouldn't be my face, so I guess I'll just deliver them right to my face on the ground with a piece of conduit. And in that moment, I realized that I wasn't using the conduit for what it was created for because I didn't understand the purpose of the conduit. The conduit doesn't exist to run bees down the pipe towards your face. It actually exists to contain wires. It actually exists to, if need be, to run water through. But it's certainly not meant to poke at a hornet's nest. And so when we don't understand the purpose of something, we wind up abusing that something. Now, thank goodness I didn't get stung that day, despite my own stupidity. And God provided in great ways. But for today, let that be a moment for us to be reminded that when we don't understand the purpose that we've been created for, when we don't understand the life that we've been given, we wind up abusing the masterpiece that is us, that God has created. We wind up living a life with no meaning. And when we live a life with no meaning, everything is reduced to experimenting. Am I talking to some of the right people here today? I mean, if we live a life without meaning, everything is reduced to experimenting. I'll try this relationship. If that relationship doesn't work, I'll try this relationship. I'll try this job. If that job doesn't work, I'll do this job. I'll try this and I'll try that. If that thing doesn't work, then I'll try this thing. If this experience doesn't please me, then I'll try this experience. If this accomplishment isn't going to make me feel better about myself and feel me like I measure up, then I'm going to stop that and try this accomplishment. And I'm going to do whatever makes me happy and however I can be fulfilled. And what happens is we bounce around life on a search, experimenting for things to try to find meaning and purpose, when meaning and purpose can only be found by understanding our purpose in God and in our Creator God. And when we do that, we live in a life of no meaning because we have no idea about our purpose. And if you don't know your purpose, guess what you don't do? If you don't know your purpose, you don't ask the thing. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, you don't ask the thing. Like when I looked at PVC pipe, I thought, okay, all right, so what is your purpose anyways? Can you imagine that conversation? Okay, I know it's not to deliver bees into my face, but what is your purpose anyways? Is that thing going to have a response for me in that moment? No. So who do I go to if I want to have information about what the purpose of this thing is? The Creator, the maker of it. Is to say, okay, what did you create this conduit for? And in this case, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we try to go to ourselves, because this is what we do, we try to figure out who we are. So self-help groups will say, well, you just need to go deeper inside of yourself and you need to ask yourself who you are. You need to be able to go deeper inside of yourself and ask yourself, well, this is who I am and I need to discover who I am and I need to discover more about myself and I can discover my purpose and meaning on my own. But God has a different understanding for us. If we don't go to the person that created us, how in the world are we going to know our very purpose? And so God says, like with the conduit, you go to your Creator. And when you go to your Creator God, all of a sudden you can discover your meaning and purpose in life when you go to your Creator. And so you seek your Creator. You seek God. You seek Jesus Christ in all you do. And He will tell you that you are a masterpiece created to do His good work. You seek Him. You seek God in Jesus Christ. You seek your Creator. And you say, God, show me your purpose. Show me your meaning in life because I know that you're only the source of lasting purpose and meaning. You can do that here at the church. You can do that through classes like the Shapes class or our Starting Point class. The Starting Point is going to be beginning, I believe, tomorrow night. There's a new class starting up. Great places to discover meaning and purpose. So that's the first thing we need to pay attention to when we realize we're God's masterpiece. You are created for the master's purpose. Number two, you have everything you need to do all God wants you to do. You have everything you need to do all God wants you to do. There is nothing out there that keeps you short of being God's masterpiece. There's not one thing in your life that keeps you short of being God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, and when God calls you, He will equip you, okay? God does not call equipped people. He equips those He calls, and He qualifies those He calls. That's just the way that God does things. Consider what it says in Scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. See, God does not call a person to do His good work and to serve His glory and not equip them to do that. That would be like me telling Austin, my son, to go mow the lawn without giving him the keys to the tractor. Hey, go mow the lawn, son, an acre and a half of grass, but hey, you're not getting the tractor. Here's a pair of scissors. That doesn't work. that doesn't work. I'm pretty sure my son wouldn't be too happy with me. I wouldn't be too happy with me if I was in that position. I've asked him to do something, to go and fulfill his meaning and purpose, to do that chore, to mow that lawn, but I haven't equipped him to be able to do that, and it makes no sense. And so God doesn't operate in that way. I mean, Moses thought that he did. When Moses was called to go to Egypt to rescue the children of Israel out of the grasp of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, to be set free because they were in slavery, Moses said, I don't believe I'm good enough to be able to do that, God. He came up with all the excuses in the book. I feel insecure. I mean, I'm not equipped to do this. I'm a stutterer. I can't speak well. Find somebody else to do it. Get one of my brothers to do it or a family member to do it. I mean, I'm not equipped to do this. And you know what God said? Yeah, Moses, you know what? You're right. My bad. What was I thinking? I mean, you're right, Moses. You can't cut the mustard. You can't do the very thing that I called you to. What was I thinking? Why would I ask you to do something, Moses, that I didn't equip you to do? No, God said the complete opposite of that. He said, Moses, don't forget who I am. I am the great I am. He says, you go tell Pharaoh and his armies, I am who I am, and that I am has sent you. And oh, by the way, you need to remember before you go that I am the one sending you. I am the great I am. I am your creator, God. And because of that, you are my masterpiece. And because I'm asking you to do these things, I have qualified you and equipped you to do the very things I'm calling you to do. The problem that we have is that we have masterpiece envy. Am I talking to some of the right people here today? I mean, we have masterpiece envy. We're so worried about how good somebody else is. We're so worried about how equipped somebody else is. We're so worried about how talented somebody else is. We look at other people and say, I wish I was as good as them. I'm not as good as them. I don't have what they have. I don't have what it takes. Therefore, if I only had that, I wish I could be able to do that. And we fail to realize what we can do. You ever spend so much time thinking negative thoughts about your life that you have no time to fill them with positive thoughts? I mean, we get so caught up in what we can't do, who we aren't, because we have masterpiece envy that we forget to camp on what is it that we can do? How did God create us with all the things that he needs to have in our life in order to do the things he's calling us to do? And how he equipped us for his call and his purpose. This is our God. You are not short of anything in your life in order to be the masterpiece that God has called you to be. I believe you're a masterpiece in God. I believe I'm a masterpiece in God. And I believe that I'm doing what he has purposed me to do as a pastor at Rolling Plains Church. And now there's a lot of stuff that I can't do that you can do. You can do a lot of stuff I can't do, and there's a lot of stuff I can do that you can't do. But I know that we're purposed to do the things that God calls us to do. For instance, in our household, I can't sing for a lick. But Elizabeth, I mean, she's starting to have this emerging singer's voice, and she does a great job at it. Just love to listen to her sing. She hums all the time, and she's constantly just singing songs wherever she goes. And then there's this idea of being an artist. I am no artist. I can tell you that for sure. But Tana, my oldest daughter, is becoming a master at it. I mean, she's incredible with the drawings and the paintings that she does. And also, I mean, I can't cook worth the lick. I mean, the microwave is my recipe for, well, maybe disaster sometimes. But if it doesn't happen in a microwave, it's not happening if I'm in charge. But Erin makes this incredible chili, and I love it comes Super Bowl time or football season when she makes this chili. It's got beans and corn and onions in it, and the spices are just right, nice and meaty, and it's great. And I think if I was the one responsible for putting the pot of chili together, it would taste like a bunch of runny ketchup with chunks of meat in it. That's what it would taste like. I mean, it wasn't what I was born to do. It wasn't what I was created to do. But for Elizabeth and Tana and Aaron, they all have things that they were created to do that I wasn't created to do. And when we stop looking at what we can't do, and when we stop looking at what others can do, we can start to see what I can do. We can start to see what we can do as individuals. And we start to see God's purpose as his masterpiece in our life. And it's not about, no, I can't do this. It's not about, I'm not this, I'm not that. It's not about, hey, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. You are God's masterpiece, and you have all you need to do. To do what God created you to do. Are you getting this? Just give me like a head nod if this is making sense to you. So first of all, you are created for the master's purpose when you are his masterpiece in Christ and only in Christ. And secondly, you have everything you need to do all that God wants you to do. This is who you are as God's masterpiece. And third and finally, and this is the greatest news of all, God uses everything in your life to bring about his purposes. God uses everything in your life to bring about his purposes. He's the potter and you are the clay. God is constantly in the process of molding us and shaping us into the man or the woman that he has called us to be. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is a popular verse. You've probably heard it before, but there's power in this verse. Paul writes, and we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him. Watch it now. For those who love him and for those who have been called according to his purpose. Now, is this all things? Well, yes, it says all things. Does this include good things? Sure it does. Does it include bad things? Absolutely. Does it include things that we're thankful for that have happened in our life? Yes, it does. Does it include things in our life that we would wish have never happened? Yes, it does. Okay? Is it for everybody? No, it's not. Watch this now. This kind of attitude and this kind of mentality typically is only reserved for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who understand their purposes. That's what it says. He said, God works for the good for all those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So when you know your purpose in Christ, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. And when you know who you are, watch this now, you'll know what God is about to do. I mean, you'll know what God is about to do. And you won't feel like, you know, life is just crumbling around you. You won't feel like you just got to stick your head in the sand. You won't feel like just a wretched, miserable person. You won't feel like everything is over because something is happening in your life. Because you know who you are, you not only know what you're going to do, but you also know who your Creator is and what He's going to do. And all of a sudden, you're able to realize that God is the potter and you are the clay. And even though you can't see it right now, you know that He's molding and shaping. You realize that He's using everything in your life, the good and the bad, for His good purpose, and therefore you're able to step forward with a holy confidence that He is sovereign, that God is good. I mean, one of my favorite stories of the Bible is Joseph, not Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus, but Joseph in Genesis in the Old Testament, when Joseph was sold into slavery by his 11 other brothers, sold into slavery by his own family. And then when he was sold off as a slave, he was wrongfully accused and framed for something that he didn't do, and he was imprisoned because of it. It was a miserable experience, and it wasn't what he wanted. He never asked for it, but when you read this story, you look along the way, all along the way, Joseph is just putting his trust in God and believing that God is still at work, that he hasn't fallen off his throne. And this kind of attitude and mentality is only reserved for those that are in Christ Jesus, that understand God's purpose and work and understand who they are as his masterpiece. And when you understand who you are in Jesus Christ, you understand not only what you're supposed to do, but you know how your God is going to act and what he's going to do. And so in all of this, as he's trusting God, Joseph is elevated into second in command in all of Egypt behind Pharaoh himself. And when he's facing his brothers years later, his brothers don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. And then he unveils himself and he says, I'm Joseph, your brother who you betrayed. But what you meant for evil, he says, God used for good. What a witness God used for good. And Joseph is basically saying, hey guys, God is the potter and I'm the clay. And I would not be able to do what I'm doing today. I would not be who I am today had God not taken me through all of this and molded and shaped me for this all along the way. He used it for good. He used it for good. And you're going through a time. Some of you right now, you're going through a time, a painful, confusing time that you wish would not be happening in your life. You wish it would be different. You need to hear this in your life, that you are Jesus Christ's. And because of that, you are his masterpiece. And because of that, he has a purpose for you. And because of that, everything you have in your life is what you need, exactly what you need to be his masterpiece. And God is going to use everything in your life to bring about his good purposes and his good work. He is doing a work in you behind the scenes. He's prepping you. He's molding and shaping you. You are the clay. He is the potter, and he's doing it all for his good plan. And I've been through a lot in my life, and I know you guys have been through a lot in your life, but Aaron and I have been through piles of debt in our past. We've been battled through infertility. We've been through the foster care system. We battle Apert syndrome almost on a weekly and daily basis. Medical emergencies that have just been unspeakable in our family. Battling kidney stones from time to time. And my mom battling through cancer. It's painful. I mean, that's just a small list. You know, life is painful. Anybody else ever experienced that? Life is painful and it gets dark. And we think to ourselves, I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like the end is near. But no, God is there with us. God has not abandoned us. And these are things that I would never say, hey, I want to go through those again. Oh, Lord, I would love to have a kidney stone. Please, God, right now. No, that's not my prayer. That's not my prayer. It's not that I wish that those things would happen to me again. But at the same time, I'm able to look at them and say, God, use those things to mold me and shape me and make me. Why? Because I am living on purpose in Jesus Christ, and therefore I understand my purpose. And those who understand their purpose in Christ, because they know who they are, they know what to do, are able to understand God's work and what he does, that he works all things together for the good, for the good. Now today I do what I'm created to do. And so when I preach against sin, it's because I battle sin in my life. And today I do what I'm created to do. And so when I preach about God's provision, it's only because he's provided for me. When I preach about God's provision, it's only because he's provided for me in so many different ways. God has gone to battle for me in my life, and I've been able to see it in so many desperate hours and desperate moments in life. And I'm not perfect, and I've blown it more times than their average person, and I've gotten angry at God and frustrated at God, and I've waved my fist at God. So when I tell you that Christ can change people, it's because he's changed me. And so when I tell you that God is a miracle worker and that God is the ultimate provider, it's only because he's lifted me personally up out of the pit of despair. And he's been my miracle worker and he's been my provider. I've been there and I've lived through it and I've lived it and I've experienced it firsthand. Now, I don't regret those dark times. I don't necessarily want to live through them again. I don't regret those dark times because I know that those things have shaped me to be the person that I am today as God's masterpiece. Here's a final thought and we'll wrap things up. If you don't like who you are, and this is worth the price of admission, if you don't like who you are, let God remake you. If you don't like who you are, let God remake you. Let God remake you. He is the potter, you are the clay. In Jeremiah, here's this verse of scripture. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working at the potter's wheel. He was using his hands to make a pot from clay, but something went wrong with it. So he used the clay, that clay, to make another pot the way he wanted it to be. The way he wanted it to be. He is the potter. He is your creator. You are the clay. And if you don't like who you are, let Jesus do a new work in you. God will make you new. He won't make you just a different version of who you were. He will completely transform and turn your life upside down and all around. This is who Jesus is. And this is what happens when we're born. We're born this sinful person. We're born as an object of God's wrath. We're born spiritually dead inside. This is what Paul told us. But the good news is, but God made provision for us in Jesus Christ so that we can live and have an abundant life. A powerfully abundant life. This life that God has shaped us in and continues to shape us in. And so if you're looking at your life right now and you wish your marriage was better, God can reshape you. If you look at your finances and wish your financial house was better in order, God can reshape you. If you look at your life as a student and you wish, hey, say, I wish I was a better student. I wish I was making better decisions. God can reshape you. Let the God of the universe, our creator God who created you, shape you anew. And that's my prayer for you today. That you will know who you are in Jesus Christ. And when you know who you are as his masterpiece, you will know what to do. It's not, no, hey, I don't measure up. It's not, hey, I'm not good enough. In Christ, today, you are his masterpiece if Jesus is in your life. You were created for a purpose, to do his good work, to do the good work of the master. You have all you need to be able to live this kind of life of living out the master's purposes. And God wants to use everything in your life to mold you and shape you. Three action steps as we leave out of here today. Number one, remind the negative voices in your life of who you are. When you hear the negative voices from a friend or family member, maybe from your own voice welling up from within you, you remind them who your God is and who your creator is. You remind them who you are, and you tell the enemy to still go straight back to where he came from. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you claim God's territory as you. And you say, I'm God's masterpiece. I don't need to hear that kind of stuff. Number two, trust God is shaping you in painful circumstances. Trust God is molding you and shaping you into this wonderful clay pot in painful circumstances. And third and finally, live your call. Live your call. Live into your call. Live into your purposes that God created you for, and watch a joy and a peace and a hope that is everlasting. Not from any other source, not from any other kind of artist, but from the true master, the one who created us all, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord and God of Abraham and Isaac. You are his masterpiece. Amen.
Good morning, church. At this time, you would take out your connection card for me, please. On the front, there's a place to fill out your name and also some information if you're new or have new information. On the back, if you would look, there's a couple sections. We have the Going Deeper section. If you're new and you have questions, we want you to know that you're loved by God and that his son died for you. So go ahead and check any spots that you might have questions on. On the Getting Connected side, we have Starting Point starting tomorrow, and it's at 6:30, actually, sorry. That's a great place to start new, like a new spot if you're looking to get deeper into the church. So go ahead and check that if you're interested. And also this Thursday, we have pizza with the pastor. So if you're wanting to get to know Pastor John and his family and everybody else, that's a great way to start, 6:30, Thursday night. At this time, if the ushers would come forward and collect our tithes and offerings. And also, if you're a guest, feel free to let the plate pass you by.
as we sing this closing song together, let this be an opportunity for us to reflect on who God says we are in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and sing that we are His masterpiece. While you're doing that, you can also be in a prayerful spirit. There are prayer cards in front of you. You can fill one of those out of joy or concern, and you can bring those up and put them in these baskets to either side of me. You can remain at the altar and pray if you'd like. Or as you're standing there singing and reflecting on who you are, let it be an opportunity to prayerfully go before the throne room of God and hear from God, to be reminded of who you are. You are God's masterpiece. Let's sing like we are. serve a good and a great God. As you go this week, know who you are in Jesus Christ. You are His masterpiece. And hope to get a chance to see you tonight at the well service. Come on out for some more singing, some praying. And if you've got a broken moment in your life, we'll pray over you. Pray for God's healing. God is good. We'll see you then. Go and live as God's masterpiece. Have a great week. God bless. Amen.